Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Kuf Nun Gimal. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Raymond and Rochelle Cohen in honor of the Hatan that is still within the Sheva Berachot week, Mr. David Cohen. May he enjoy many years of happiness and success. Osher ve'osher ve'chavod me'ata ve'adonam. Today's daf is also being studied by Le'ilu Nishmat Acham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tenichem began Eden. Amen. We are beginning on Kufnun Bet Amud Sheni, and we are going to start four lines from the bottom. Amar le ahud tzeduki le Rabbi Abhu. So the tzeduki told Rab Abhu, Amritu, it's been said, you said, Nishmatan shel tzadikim genuzot tahat kisei hakavod, that the neshamot of the righteous are placed under the kisei hakavod, the chair, the glory, this chair of God in heaven. So the question he had was, Uba Tamya, Hecha Aske Lishmuel Be Negida. The Navi tells us a story that when Shaul HaMelech was going out to war against the Philistine, he wanted to know if he was going to win or not. So he disguised himself and he went to a witch, a lady that was able to bring down the neshama of Shmuel HaNavi to the use of bones. And Shaul asked Shmuel HaNavi, who was dead already, if he should go to the war or not. So the tzeduki is asking the rabbi, if you just taught us that the metim, the neshamot, go under kisei kavod, so how was he able to bring it down? I mean, it seems, how is the witch able to bring it down? It seems the neshama is under kisei hakavod. So let's get the words over here. He asked, three lines out of Uba Tamya. So that she says, Ba'al Ov. Ov is the name of that type of witch that uses the bones. Tamya is a bone. So Uba Tamya, the Ov type of witch that uses the bones, Hecha Askel Shmuel. How were they able to bring down the neshama of Shmuel, Benigida? And that she says, that's what they call the mechashefot, that's what they call the witch in Aramaic. It's called negida. How did they bring it down? Amar le hatam betoch shnemasar chodesh shava. So that's different. That was within the first year of Shmuel's death. So it seems that there's a difference between the first year and after that. So during the first year, it seems the witchcraft is able to bring down the neshama. And the Gemara proves that the Tanya, because we have a Braita, Kol Yud Bet Chodesh Gufo Kayam V'Nishmato Ole V'Yoredet. The first 12 months after death, when the body is still in existence, the neshama constantly goes up to the Shamayim and comes down and visits the Guf. And therefore the witch is able to tap into the neshama and bring it. La'har yab chodesh, after 12 months, haguf batel. So the body becomes nullified, v'nishmato ole, and the neshama goes up to the heavens, v'shuv ena yoredet. It does not come down anymore. Amar Rav Yehuda beredet Rav Shmuel bar Shilat, mishemederav. Mehespedo shel Adam nikar, im ben ha'olam abahu imlav. From the eulogy of a person, we're able to discern if he merits Olam Abba or not. How? So that she tells us on the top line, She'im kasher haya hakol bochin alav umuridin dema'ot umesaperim shemacho. If the guy was a kosher guy, so when they make the speeches, everybody cries because they know that what's being said is true. And therefore, from the speeches at the funeral, you can tell if the deceased is meriting Olam Haba or not. So the Gemara says, "Ini, we have a contradiction." Ve'ha'amar le'rav Shmuel bar Shelat. Rav told Rav Shmuel Bar Shelat, Ahim be'espeda. He told him, make sure when you speak about me at the funeral, Ahim, meaning speak in a passionate way in order to stir up the crowd. Ahim be'espeda. Dehatam ka'amina. That because my neshama is going to be there, and I'm going to hear everything. And as she tells us on the second line, Bishat mitati, that Rav was saying, at the time of my death, hitametz behesped sheli, right? Give an extra strength when you give my my eulogy. Shiit hamemu, so you'll stir up the crowd. V'ichmeru rahame amdim v'yipku, so everybody in the crowd will cry. Next, Rashi, de'atam ka'imna, because my neshama is there. B'sha'at esped, at the time of the eulogy, ve'eshma ech tethamim, and I'm going to hear how you stirred them up. Alma itztarich le'rav le'azure da'espeda. Obviously, Rav needed to tell the eulogizer to stir the crowd up. Now, the question would be, v'keman de'rav gavra rava, certainly we have no doubt that Rav was a great man, uben ha'olam haba. No one doubts that Rav was going to Olam, not going to Olam Abba. Of course he was going. Lama lil azureh. Why does he have to warn him? We just said from the eulogy you could tell if he's been Olam Abba. So why would Rav have to give him instructions? Make sure you stir them up to get them to cry. We thought we just said that it's an automatic. If they cry at the eulogy, so then you know. So the Gemara says, Lakashya, had mehamule ve'achim. Jesus always talking where the eulogizer says and makes a stirring speech and a very, very strong speech. Then we have the test. If the speech is a stirring speech, meaning he gives a very impassionate speech and still nobody reacts, when everybody is very, very just plain, so then already you know the guy's not going to Olam Abba. But however, if an impassioned speech is made and everybody cries from it, then already you know. So therefore, Rav was saying, just make sure you give an impassioned speech, because he might not, they might not have, because after all, Rav lived a very long life. According to some, she thought he lived 400 years. So therefore, according to that, you know, what is he going to say? Why should he be so impassioned? But he's saying, no, because if you speak a strong speech like that, so then the people will cry, and that'll be the indication that they get Olam Abba. Now she says, "Had mehamimin le lehespeda v'achim leolam hamume ba'ay," which means you always need this speech to be a stirring speech. She'en b'nei adam nechmarim kol kach azaken, because people really don't become upset when an old person dies. Umiu le'adam hasid. However, if the man is truly righteous, ki mehamemo b'espeda, when you stir him in a speech, mehamemu, they become excited themselves. Ubachu kulehu. Ul mishe'enu hasid kol kach mehamemo le velo mehamemu. Which is, even if they stir a burr on him, if he's not a hasid, they're not going to cry. They're not moved. Exactly. Amale abaye le rabba. Kegon mor. Abaye told rabba, like my master. Like you, that is hated by all the people of Pumpedita. Man achim hespeda. Who's going to deliver the impassioned speech about you? Rabba was hated because he was very outspoken, and he used to rebuke the people of Pumpedita about all their wrongdoings, especially about Gezel. And therefore, the people did not like him. So therefore, Abaye said, who's going to eulogize you? No one likes you in Pumpedita. Amar le, mistaya at v'rabba barav Hanan. It's enough if you make the eulogy and Rabba bar of Hanan. Comes again when it says, ba'a mine rabbi elazar merav. Ezehu ben ha'olam abba. Who is the one that is worthy to Olam Abba? So Amar Neh, so he answered him by quoting him a pasuk in Yeshaya. What does the pasuk say? Ve'oznecha tishmachna davar me'acharecha lemor, ze haderech lechubo, ki ta'aminu v'chi tasme'ilu. Which means they're learning this pasuk as a derasha. Basically saying that when you go to the funeral,
and they make a speech, and the eulogizer says, this is the derech, this is the way everybody should follow. Whether it's right or whether it's left, everybody should follow the lifestyle of this person. If that's the derasha that's made at the eulogy, then you know he is indeed ben olam haba. Which means when it says, ve'oznecha teshmara, your ears will hear davar me'acharecha, meaning after your death, when they're bringing the mitah to the funeral, when the people say, zeh derech, this is the right way, this is the proper way to in live life, so then you know that the person enjoys olam haba, meaning what are the people saying about him after he died. Rav Hanina amar kol shedat, and there's a girsa change over here, and we will change it probably to Rabotav. Yes, kol shedat Rabotav nohahemenu. So long as his rabbis are happy with him, that's already a sign that he goes to Olam Abba. Meaning, after a person dies, the best proof if the person was a good person or not is not from his parents or his family, because they're sort of biased, and therefore they might not give the proper assessment. But his rabbis, if they come along and say he was a good man, then already you know that that person, he earned the accolades of his rabbi, so you know he's going to Olam Abba. And now we go back to the pasuk in Kohelet that we've been being Doresh. We said on yesterday's daf, the pasuk, Ki holech ha'adam el bet olamo. And we said, everybody goes to their own residence in Olam Abba. The end of the pasuk says, Vesabebu bashuk hasofedim. And the eulogizers will walk around the marketplace. Now what does that refer to? So the Gemara says, Bene Galila Amru. The people of Galila said, Aseh Devarim Lefne Mitatcha. Which means, Lashi, do things in your life that are positive, so they'll be able to say them in front of your coffin after you die. Bnei Yehuda amri, aseh devarim le'achar mitatcha. So the Bnei Yehuda said, do things in your life, so they'll be able to speak things behind your coffin. So the Gemara says, ve'la peligi. It's really no argument over here. Mor ki atreh, umor ki atreh. Which means, it was just a difference in minhag where the eulogizer would stand when he would make the speech. In one, in Gilila, they would stand in front of the coffin, and in Yehuda, they would stand behind the coffin. But the point is, do things in your life in order that when the eulogizer is sobeb bashuk, usually after somebody dies, the eulogizer needs to know about the niftar. So what does he do? He walks around the marketplace asking, tell me something, tell me a story, tell me something about the deceased. So the pasuk is telling you, give the eulogizer information to talk about. So you have to think, when you're living, what are they going to say about me after 120 years? So that should be a motivation in order to correct your ways. Tenana tam, we learned in the Mishnah to be the Eizer Omer. Shuv yomehad lefne mitatcha. The Mishnah teaches us that one has to repent one day before he dies. Shalu tamidav et Rabbi Eliezer, v'chi adam yodeya ezehu yom yamut? Does a person know when he's going to die that you tell me do it a day before? Amar lahen v'chol shechen yashuv hayom. Says, oh, that's exactly what I'm saying. Repent today. Shem yamut lemahar. Because you don't know. Maybe you will die tomorrow. And therefore today is the last day. And then if you make repentance, then all your days are considered in teshuvah. So the Gemara says, V'av Shlomo amar b'chokhmato. So Shlomo HaMelech also said in his wisdom, Bechol et yiyu begadecha levanim. At all times, your clothes should be white. That she says, this is referring to your neshama, that the neshama should always be tehorah. Veshemen al roshcha al yahsar, which literally means, and the oil on your head will not be lacking. The Mefashim explained the word shemen can also be the word Neshem. Neshem is the air, Neshima, which means, and the Neshima, meaning of the Neshama, Al Roshcha, the Neshama, which rests in the mind of a person, Al Yahsar, meaning it should not be defective, it should be good, which is telling a person that he always has to be clean. Amar of Yohanan ben Zakkai. Mashal Lemelech Shezimen et Abadav Lesouda. An analogy to a king that invited his servants to a seudah, to a feast. Velo kava lahem zeman. But he did not tell them exactly when the feast is going to take place. Pikhein shebahem, so the smart ones amongst them, kishtu et atzmam, they adorned themselves, they got dressed. V'yashvu al petach bet hamelech. And they went and they sat ready at the gate of the king. Amru, and they said, Klum hasel lebet hamelech? Is the king lacking anything? Meaning the king is capable to make a feast immediately. He has all the food, he has all the provisions, and therefore he could call us at any time. Tepshim shebaim halku lemelachtam. The fools amongst them, they went to work. Amru, and they rationalized and said, Klum yesh se'uda belo Torah. Which means, could you make a se'uda without preparation, without exertion, which is even the king, he has to prepare. So we have time. Befitom, suddenly, bikesh ha-melech et abadav. The king called in his servants for the feast. Bikhein shebaim nechnesu lefanav kishen mekushatim. So the wise ones amongst them entered the feast when they were they were dressed, they were adorned. That the pshim nechnesu lefanav kishen meluchlachim. And the fools entered when they were all soiled and dirty. Samach ha-melech leklat pekhim. The king was very happy to greet the smart ones. Ve'ka'as leklat tepshin. And certainly he was angry when he greeted the fools. Amar, so the king said, Halalu shekishitu et atzmam l'seudah. Those wise ones that adorned themselves to the seudah, yishvu ve'yuchlu ve'yishtu. They could sit, be able to eat, they were able to drink. Halalu shelokish to asram the seudah. And those that did not prepare themselves and adorn themselves for the seudah, yamdu viyidu. They should just stand and watch. So Rashi says, ve'af le'olam abba. The same analogy is in olam abba. Tzaddikim yosvim ve'ochlin. The tzaddikim who prepared themselves were always ready. So they sit and they eat and enjoy. Urushaim omdim veroim. And the Rishaim just sit and they watch, they're spectators. Hatanot shel Rabbi Meir mishum Rabbi Meir Amar. So the son-in-law of Rabbi Meir came along and said in the name of his father, Rabbi Meir, Amar, afen nir'in kim shemeshim. Says, no, the analogy is not good. Because at least you're giving the Rishaim a chance to serve in the Saudah. Which means, it seems that they're part of the Saudah, which means that she says, En omdim veroim, they don't stand, Rabbi Meir says, and watch. Shimken afhem hayunir im min hakiruim. Which means it seems that they're invited to the party at least. With Shemesh, at least they're the waiters. Shekin derek ha-mesheretim omdim ve'en kambusha. That's not such a shame. So at least they're serving the Sadiqim. Rabbi Meir wants to say, it's worse than that. Ela elu ve'elu yoshvim. Both of them sit. Halalu ochlin ve'halalu re'avim. And the others starve. Which means according to the first analogy, the waiter also gets to eat. He just is not getting the same level of kavod, of sitting, as the Sadiq. Rabbi Meir says, no, they're all going to sit. And the Tzaddikim are going to enjoy, and the Rishaim will not prepare themselves, weren't ready, they're going to starve. Halalu shotin. The Tzaddikim are going to drink. Halalu tzimi'in. And these guys are going to be thirsty. Shnei Emar, Ko Amar Hashem. Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Ko Amar Hashem Elohim, Hine Abadai Yochelu, Ve'atem Terabu. Hine Abadai Yishtu, Ve'atem Tesma'u. You're going to be thirsty. Hine Abadai Yismahu. My servants are going to be happy. Ve'atem Teboshu. And you are going to be shamed.
Comes the Gemara and continues quoting a pasuk from Yeshaya. The pasuk says, "Hine abadai yaronu." God says, "My servants will rejoice mituv lev from all the goodness." Ve'atem tetzaku mikeev lev, and you are going to in olam haba cry from heartache. So you see over here that the Pesukim and Yeshaya are hinting to us, more than hinting to us, telling us that the difference between those that are prepared for the Sa'udah of Olam Haba, meaning they make the Teshuvah, so they're ready, or those that Chas v'Shalom are not prepared. Now the Gemara gives another Dirasha on the Pasuk that we just quoted from Kohelet. Davar Acher Becholet Yiyu Begadecha Levanim. At all times your clothes should be white. Elu sisit. This is referring to sisit, which is not only a white garment, but also the strings of the sisit are white. The majority of the strings. Meaning, even if you don't have the blue string, the halakha says, so you put a white string instead. So, b'chudayet, at all times, you begadecha levani, meaning one should fulfill the mitzvah of sisit. V'shemen al roshcha al yachsar. And what is this? The oil on your head should not be lacking. Elu tefillin. This is referring to tefillin. Now, what does this have to do with tefillin? So Rashi on the bottom says, elu tefillin. Shehem, shem shemen tov. Which means the word shemen also can come from shem. Because we learned in Masechet Berachot that when one wears a tefillin shel rosh, the pasuk writes, v'ra'u kol ameh ha'aretz, ki shem Hashem nekla alecha. They're going to see the name of God is upon you. V'yare'u mimeka. So therefore they're saying, v'shemen, the name of God, al roshecha, that's on your head, lo yachsar, will not be lacking. What's that referring to? That's referring to the tefillin shebarosh. Hadran alach shoel. And now we move on to the last perek of Masechet Shabbat, the 24th perek, perek mi shehashich. And the Mishnah begins. Mi shehashich baderech. A person was walking on Erev Shabbat on Friday. And yachshich, it came close to sunset. Sunset begins Shabbat. V'noten kiso lenukhri. Now what happened? He's walking with his wallet. So now he needs to know, what is he going to do with his wallet? So the Mishnah says, he takes his wallet and he gives it to a goy. As she learns, this is talking about still when it's Erev Shabbat. Didn't come Shabbat yet. Give it to the goy, and then you tell the goy, you know, hold it for me, and after Shabbat, you know, I'll pick it up or you'll give it to me. Rashi says, and I quote inside, that's the way Rashi understands. Comes the Mishnah and continues, but if he does no goy, let's say there, that he can give his wallet to, maniho ala hamor. So then he's able to put it on the donkey, his donkey, and the donkey will walk it home. That she says, "Im en imo hayesh imo lenochri adif," which means we can imply right away that if there's a goy, better to give it to the goy than put it on your donkey. It's only to where there's no goy. Now we'll see what's the problem. Why is a goy better than a donkey? But those are the options. It starts off, give the wallet to the goy. No goy, put it on the animal. Mishnah continues. Higia lachatzer achitzona. Now the donkey reaches, let's say, the outer courtyard, meaning he reaches the secured area, the closest secured area, where now he's able to, let's say, let off the load of the donkey, and we're not worried about somebody taking his wallet because it's in a protected area. So Zigia Lahatsera Itsona, which means of the city, that she tells us, which is the first secured area. So now you have to unload the donkey. So how do you unload the donkey? Notel itakirim anitalim b'shabbat. Well, first of all, you can unload the non-mukseh vessels, because the donkey is carrying some stuff that you need for Shabbat. So therefore, you can unload the things that you need. Notel itakirim anitalim b'shabbat. V'she'en amnitanim b'Shabbat. And what about the stuff that's not movable on Shabbat? Matira havalim. So you just loosen the straps of the donkey that's holding the loads. V'asekin noflim me'elehem. And then the sack will just fall by itself. So the non-mukseh you can actually handle directly. The mukseh stuff, you just undo the ties and it will fall into the hatzer. The Rashi tells us, Notel biyado me'alav kelim anitalim b'Shabbat. V'she'en nitalin matira harim shel ukaf. That's the saddle. She'en kishurim be'em v'asekin noflim. Okay, so that's basically the Mishnah. Again, a guy has a wallet. He's walking on the Erev Shabbat. It's right before Shabbat. Now he needs to take the wallet off. What is he going to do? So the Gemara says, give it to the goy. So right away comes the Gemara and says, "My taramash haru le'rabbanan le'metav kiseh le'nochri." What's the reason why the Chachamim allowed you to give the wallet to a goy? Rashi says, "Vehareu shiluho lisa'enu b'Shabbat." So what are you talking about? He becomes your messenger to carry the wallet now on Shabbat. Could you tell a goy to do something for you on Shabbat? So the Gemara says, Kim nehu d'rabbanan. The rabbis know human nature. De'en adam ma'amid atzmo al mamono. A person can't control himself when it comes to his money. Ilo sharitle, if you're not going to let him give it to the goy, even though it might be rabbinically forbidden, atel etuye dalir amot b'reshut rabim. The guy himself is going to carry his wallet b'reshut rabim for amot. So better let the goy do it, because isud is going to take place over here regardless. We'd rather, instead of him doing isud de'oraita, of carrying his wallet, because he's in the middle of the street, he can't drop it in the street. So therefore, the rabbis were lenient. You could even tell the goy. Now, the Rosh is on Rashi over here. What are you talking, Rashi? You told me it's all ahead of Shabbat. Really no restriction to give the goy the wallet on Erev Shabbat. So what's the Gemara telling over here? Oh, how could you give it to the goy? What are you talking about? I'm giving it to him on Friday. I can't give my wallet to the goy on Friday? I'm not telling him anything on Shabbat. So because of this and another question that the Rosh answers, which we'll see in a minute, he argues and he says the case is talking about the now Mishnah on Shabbat. Which means the guy was walking, he realized it was Shabbat itself, now he wants to give the wallet to the goy. That's the whole Hiddush over here. The Shiltei Geborim defends Rashi, and the Shiltei Geborim comes along and says that you're right, Rashi agrees. Of course the case would be even applicable on Shabbat. So why did Rashi say Mibayod Yom? Because Rashi just wanted to alleviate the problem of Mukseh. Because bottom line, the wallet is Mukseh. So then Rashi gave a case Mibayod Yom where you don't have the problems that say of Mukseh, that's why you can give the wallet without a question. But Rashi would agree, according to Shiltei Geborim, that even on Shabbat itself, this is the case. That's what the Gemara is asking. Oh, Shabbat, how could you give it to the goy? So that to give our answers, because we know the nature of people. You don't let him give it to the goy, the guy's actually going to walk himself for a mot. So again, of course, better to give it to the Be'al Jom, so you alleviate the Mukseh issue, but if you didn't, you still have to give it to the goy. Comes to give it on, says, Amar Rava. Rava said, Davka Kiso. This whole dispensation that we allow you to give it to the goy on Shabbat is only talking about your wallet. Aval mitzi'ah lo. But a mitzi'ah, meaning a lost object, no. A mitzi'ah, actually, you found the lost object. A guy finds a lost object. That type of item, we're not going to let you give that to the goy. So that she says, on the first white line, Davka kiso. Why were we lenient by a wallet? Dekevan de tarahba. Because since a person works for his money, sha'al yedeh torah hu mistakir, right? He makes his money through effort, through working, hayis ala. So therefore, it's more dear to him. And therefore, he's not giving up that money so fast. And therefore, if you don't let him give it to the goy, he's going to carry it. However, v'ilo sharite ha'ateletuye. However, a mitzi'ah, it's a windfall. And therefore, we don't say that, oh, got to give it to the goy.
Because if you give it to the guy, if you don't give it to the guy, he's going to walk it off. Nah, leave it there. The guy's not going to be so so frenzied to carry a mitziah home. So again, on this, the Rosh again asks on Nashi. If we're talking about where you found it, on Erev Shabbat, so once, let's say, you pick it up on Erev Shabbat already, the Gemara is going to say, it's considered yours already. That's considered already your money. And therefore, it has the same dispensation. So therefore, must be we talking about on Shabbat itself, like the Gemara will say in a second. Yeah. Comes the Gemara and says like this. Gemara says, Davka kiso, aval mitzi'ah lo. Pishita, because of course, he kiso tenan. Well, read the Mishnah. Didn't the Mishnah say, Mi she'achshik baderek noten kiso lenukhri? The Mishnah was very clear. So what do you tell me? Only a kiss? Of course only a kiss. That's what the Mishnah said. So the Gemara says, Ma'u detema hu adin afilu mitziah. I would tell you, maybe the Mishnah is not dafka. Maybe hu adin mitziah. Ve'hadik tani kiso, unhadim etakatani. And then the Mishnah was just picking a normal case. It's more normal that a guy has his wallet than a found object. Kamash ma'alan, and that's why the Gemara comes says no. The Mishnah was actually being specific. Davka kiso, but not a mitziah. Ve'lo amaran ela de'lo ateliyade. Oh, so the Gemara said this is only talking about that the lost object did not come into your hand from Erev Shabbat. However, aval ateliyade. But if it came into your hand already, kiki sedame. That is considered already like his own money. Look at that sheet, two lines from the bottom. That we don't give this dispensation to the mitziah. Means if he didn't pick it up before Shabbat, and he wasn't zocheh, now he walks by it, he sees it. So now, we're not going to be lenient over here for him to give it to the goy on Shabbat. However, if he picked it up already from before Shabbat, so that already is considered a kis, that's already his money. So therefore we'll have the dispensation, you can give it to the goy. So again, you see where the Rosh has learned that the case is even talking about on Shabbat. Rambam's Gemara says, another version. Ika de'am, some say, ba'erava, mitzi'ah ha'ba'al yado mahu. If let's say you picked up the mitzi'ah from before Shabbat, how do you look at it? Kevan da'atal yadeh kikiseh dameh. Do you say, since it's in your hand already, it's considered like your wallet, therefore we give you the same dispensation to give it to the goy? Or dilma, kevan de'lo tarah beh, lav kikiseh dameh. Or do you say, still, I don't care if you picked it up. Bottom line, you didn't work for it. And since you didn't work for it, we're not worried that you might come and carry it forward, therefore we're not going to let you give it to the goy. According to this version, tiku, it leaves it in a question. So the first version understood, no, if you picked it up, it's like your wallet, give it to the goy, same dispensation. The Gemara second version says, no, that's indeed a question that even if you picked it up before Shabbat, I could argue, don't give it to the goy. Why? Because you're not going to come to carry it. Why? It's my money. Yeah, but it's the money that you didn't earn. And money that you didn't earn, you don't have a nature to go and, you know, you're not going to go walk on Shabbat for Amot to save that type of money. So it could be, even the mitziah that was in your possession before Shabbat, still you would not be allowed to give to the goy. So what you're doing it? Drop it. Just leave it on the floor there and leave it. Comes the Gemara and says further. In Imon Nochri. So what do we say in the Mishnah? If there's no goy, then what do? Then you put it on the Hamor. So comes the Gemara and says, Ta'ama de'in Imon Nochri. And the only reason why we let you put it on the Hamor is because there's no goy there. Ha yesh Imon Nochri. Ah, but if there was a goy there, Le Nochri Yahidle. My Ta'ama, what's the reason? Which means, why are we being more lenient when it comes to the goy than to put it on the hamor? So the Gemara says, hamor ata mitzuveh al shvitato. Nochri I ata mitzuveh al shvitato. Which means, a hamor, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, your animal, it says in the Torah, lo ta'aseh kol melaka ata o behemtecha. Just like you're not allowed to work on Shabbat, your animals are not to work on Shabbat. That's an Isur Menatorah. So therefore, it doesn't make a difference if you're carrying the wallet or you put it on your animal. If your animal's working for you, that's asur. However, telling a goy to do something is not from the Torah. Telling the goy is only gezerah d'rabbanan. So therefore, if there's a goy, of course give it to the goy. Only if there's no goy, then already we'll be lenient to put it on the hamor. Now we have to see, how can we be lenient? If we're just telling that's asur d'oraita, how can we be lenient to put it on the hamor? The Gemara will ask that in a moment. But the point is, the hamor is worse than the goy le'inyan Shabbat. So how come the Gemara? The Gemara is now going to discuss different scenarios, which case is better and which case is worse. So the Gemara says like this: Hamor v'cheresh shote v'katan. Here are your options. Again, it's Friday, you have the wallet, and you want to unload the wallet to somebody. You have a hamor, you have a cheresh, that's the deaf guy. You have a shote, that's a somebody that does not have da'at, that's a somebody that's a not a minor. He doesn't have a da'at, he's deranged, he doesn't have da'at. V'katan, katan is a minor. So now the question is, who do you give it to? So the Gemara says, Ahamor manahle. So the Gemara says, better to put it on the hamor. Lehiresh shote v'katan lo yahivze. But don't give it to the hiresh shote v'katan. So the Gemara says, my ta'ama, what's the reason? Hane adam. Hai lav adam. The hiresh shote v'katan at least are humans. The animal is not a human. So what? So that she says on the bottom, Hai Adam, v'yesh b'mino shechayav b'mitzvot. There are humans, the species of these people, that are hayav and mitzvot. Ve'atel echlufeh. And if we allow you to give them to these type of humans, which really might have a dispensation, because there's a haresh, a shoter, he's a minor, but if we allow you to give it to this type of human, you might give it to a regular human where it's definitely asur. You might say, what's the difference? I gave it to the haresh, v'katan, I'll give it to a regular Jew. And that's already a problem. However, a hamor, you're not going to mistake if I gave it to the hamor to give it to a person. So therefore, if it's the animal and the haresh shoteh v'katan, they're going to tell you, go with the animal and not the haresh shoteh v'katan. Now, the Gemara gives another scenario. Haresh v'shoteh. Now you just have a haresh, a deaf, mute, and a shoteh. That's somebody that does not have da'at. Who do you give it to? So the Gemara says, Leshote. Then you give it to the Shote. Why? Rashi at the bottom. Yahiv. Telet le da'at klal. Because the Shote has no da'at, no brain at all. Aval Heresh. Now, even though the deaf mute also is really not in his right frame of mind, however, da'ata kilishta itle. He does have a little da'at. So therefore, in this case, better to give it to the shoteh, who's totally, without da'at, than to give it to the hedesh. Good. Shoteh v'katan. Again, you have a shoteh, and you have a minor. So the Gemara says again, le shoteh. You give it to the shoteh. Now, even though the katan is not obligated, however, the shoteh is obviously, without that, is a better option to give it to.
He's a gadol.
Correct. Even though he's a gadol, doesn't matter. But since he's a shoteh, the fact that he has no da'at is better. Ibaya lehu. Now the Gemara says, Heresh v'katan. So we took out the shoteh out of the equation, because the shoteh always is always wins. Now we go with the heresh and the katan. You have the deaf mute and the minor. Mai. So the Gemara says, Alibad Rabili Ayazeh Lotirailach. According to Rabili Ayazeh, there's no question who you give it to. Why? Detanya, because we have a Braita. Rabbi Yitzhak Omer Mishum Rabili Ayazeh. Terumat Heresh, the Teruma of a Heresh. What does that mean? You have an obligation to give 2% of your produce, let's say, to the Kohen. You have to separate the Teruma. Let's say a heresh comes along, a deaf mute, and he's the one that separates the teruma. Is it considered teruma or not? Is his separation considered good or not? I mean, does he have the ability to make teruma before he designates it? It's all holin. It's all non-holy. Does what the Herez picks from the crop, does he have the ability to make it teruma? Does he have to make it Kodesh or not? So it says over here, lo tetzeh leholin. Well, you cannot now use this food for holin anymore. Holin is for mundane things. Why, as she says, top line, v'avya teruma le'esol le'zarim. We're going to give it the stringency of teruma, that you're not going to be able to feed this food now to a Yisrael. So what? You see, has a din of teruma. No. As she continues, v'yitroma pikeya acheret. You must take teruma again. So a cheresh has a din of sefik. What he did, we're not sure. Therefore, we're going to give it the stringency of teruma that you can't give it to Yisrael. But if you want to eat the food, you have to take teruma again. Okay? Gemara. Mepereshehu sefik. Because he is a sefik, what he is. Rashi. Shu sefik. Ida'at siltahi. Oh no. Is he considered someone has da'at or not? For sure, in the case of a cheresh or katan, the beer as it holds could be the cheresh has da'at. He's mesupak. Could be his teruma is teruma. So therefore, certainly if it's a choice on Shabbat between giving the wallet to a cheresh or katan, give it to the katan who definitely is not obligated in mitzvot because he's a minor. So the question of cheresh and katan is not asked according to the Bnei Eizer. Because we know the Bnei Eizer, she does, he was in himself a quandary. How do you consider a cheresh? How do we know is it a quandary? Because he said himself, the teruma that he takes, is it teruma or not? Meaning, could be he's considered legitimate. And therefore, teruma is teruma. So therefore, if you have a katan or a cheresh, for sure give it to the katan. So who's the question then? Aliba, I'm sorry, ki tiv'elach, when you ask your question, aliba d'rabanan. Ask it according to the rabbi's opinion. That now we have a mishnah. Hamisha lo yitremu. Five people that should not take teruma. Ve'im tarmu en trumatan teruma. And if they took teruma, it doesn't count. It's null and void. And who are the five? Elohen. Heresh, the deaf mute. So you see clearly, according to the rabbis, the deaf mute is considered not legal. Shote, okay. Ve'katan. So he puts the katan on the same footing as the heresh. Now what are the other ones? Short two more. And somebody that takes teruma on something that doesn't belong to him. He went and took teruma on somebody else's field. So that she tells us he didn't get permission. The pasuk says tivuat zara'echa. Now it's got to be your tivua, and therefore it's asut to take teruma for somebody else. And she also gives us, incidentally, the source of how do you know heresh shoteh v'katan also is teruma, is not a teruma. He quotes a pasuk that says asher yidebenu libo, only somebody that has wisdom to make a donation or to make a nedaba, to contribute. However, Heresh Shoteh V'Katan, they do not have the understanding to contribute, therefore they're not obligated, and therefore if they take the Teruma, it's not considered legitimate. Who's the fifth person? V'Nochri Shetaram Eshel Yisrael. A goy that took Teruma on a Jew's a field, Afilu Birshuto, even if he got permission from the Jew, and terumato teruma. That she says, because in order to be a shaliach, it has to be bene berit. Only somebody that is similar to a Jew can be a shaliach. But a goy, obviously, is not ben berit, and therefore he cannot serve as a shaliach. Good. So the Gemara says, my. So what do you do according to Hakamim? They say that the Chiddush and the Katan are the same. How do we know that they're the same? Because by Terumah, both the Terumah is not considered Terumah. So the question then is, on Shabbat, if you have a Chiddush and a Katan, who do you give the wallet to? So the Gemara says, the Chiddush Yaivne. According to the rabbis, give it to the Chiddush. Why? The Katan Atel Lichlal Da'at. Or actually, the Gemara is giving you the two sides. Because I could argue, the Katan eventually is going to become a Gadol. So at least, it's worse, the Katan. Because already he's in the situation to grow into a Gadol. But a Chiddush is a Chiddush. You're not going to change. So maybe give it to the Chiddush. Or Dilma LeKatan Yaivne. I say, you know what? Give it to the Katan. Why? The Chiddush Atel Lichlufe BeGadol Pikeya. Because the Chiddush, I might misinterpret. If I allow you to give it to the Chiddush, you might give it to a Gadol Pikeya, to an adult who is smart. Because the Chiddush is not a Katan. We can talk about he's 35 years old, the Chiddush. So if I give it to the Chiddush, I might come and talk. I gave it to this guy, 35 years old. I might be able to give it to a regular, let's say, 35-year-old guy. So therefore, better to give it to the Katan. You're not going to mix a Katan for a Gadol. So those are the two sides. So Ika de Amre, some say the Chiddush Yaivle. Ika de Amre, the Katan Yaivle. Alright, so there's two sides. Two answers. Some say Chiddush, and some say the Katan. According to Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Elazar, for sure you give it to the Katan. According to the rabbis, there's two ways of looking at it. You give it to the Chiddush or the Katan. Comes the Gemara and says, En Sham, Lo Nochri, Velo Hamor, Velo Chiddush, Velo Shote, Velo Katan, Mai. So there's nobody there. Now the guy's got his wallet. Now what does he do? He can't give it to anybody. So the Gemara says, Amar Yitzchak, Od Acheret Haita. There was really one more option. Velo Ratzu Hachamim Leglota. But the rabbis didn't want to reveal the last option. So the Gemara says, Mai Od Acheret Haita. What was the other option that they were holding back? Molicho Pachot Pachot Midalir Amot. You're in the Rishut Rabim. According to the Torah, you're not allowed to walk 4 amot in the Shut Rabim. But if you walk less than 4 amot, it should be okay. Yeah. The rabbis came along and restricted walking less than 4 amot, lest you come and walk more than 4 amot. But in this case, with the wallet, so he doesn't come now and run home with it. So he said, you know what? You don't have anybody to give it to? Just walk 3 amot, stop. 3 amot, stop. Pahot, pahot. So the Gemara says, Amaylo Natsu Hakim Leglota. Says, well, it's a great option. Why were the rabbis not interested in giving us this information? So he says, Mishum Kevod Elohim Haster Davar Uchbod Melachim Hakor Davar. We have a rule that Shlomo HaMelech says. When it comes to Kevod Elohim, when it comes to the Kevod of God, to give a respect to the religion, better to keep things sometimes quiet. When it comes to the kavod of rich people or kings, on the contrary, hakor davar, then you have to investigate. Then you have to, even though it might come to, you know, shame them, it comes to melachim, reveal it. It's like sometimes there's scandals. They say, oh, if we're going to reveal it, you might shame the melech. Doesn't matter, hakor davar. Investigate and analyze, find the truth. When it comes to the Torah, Hester Davar, to keep the kavod of God. So the Gemara asks, Ve'acha, my kavod Elohim Ika, where's the kavod of God by not revealing this halakha? Says, Dilma atel atuye dalir amot b'shut rabim. Because the guy might come to carry 4 amot b'shut rabim. You tell the guy, walk 3 amot and stop. Walk 3. It's very possible that the guy's going to walk 4 amot. They were very dangerous. So therefore, to keep the kavod of Hashem, that the guy doesn't come to Mechalel Shabbat, they kept this one low. They didn't want to publicize this option. Now the Gemara continues on the same point. Tanya, we have a braita. B'liyazir Omer, Bo Bayom Gadshu Se'ah. Remember early in the Masechet, on Daf Yud Zayin, we learned that there was a rabbi called Hananiah ben Hizkiyah. And the rabbis went up to his attic, and they went and they made 18 different enactments on that day. And there were students of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel that were at the meeting over there, and there were more students of Beit Shammai, and they outnumbered them. And we went through all the different 18 enactments. So Rabbi Eliezer says you should know, Bo Bayom, on that day, that fateful day in the attic of Hananiah ben Hizkiyah, Gadshu Se'ah. What does Gadshu Se'ah mean? If a person, let's say, is measuring a seah, has a certain amount of wheat, let's say. It's a bushel, let's say, right? So when a person's measuring the bushel, for argument's sake, sometimes they top it off, exactly. They don't give you exactly heaping, exactly. They don't give you exactly to the rim. They give you a little above. So the Bili Ezra was saying, on that day, they not only gave the se'ah, but they actually heaped it. What are they referring to? So that she says, let's read that she. Bo bayom gadshu se'ah, bayom sha'alu la'aliyat Hananya ben Hizkiyah, v'gazu yudchet davar, v'zu ahat min hayta. This was one of them, by the way. When the rabbi said, if you're walking on Shabbat, and you forget the wallet, you can give the wallet to the goy notek yisod anokhi. Bo bayom gazu, but on that same day they said, shelo yolichenu pachot pachot midal ramot. On that day they said, but there is no option to walk it less than 4 amot. Im yesh sham nochri, if there's a goy. Oto yom hirbu siyag natura b'midah gedusha. On that day, the rabbis made nice restrictions in an abundant manner. V'yafeh madedu l'arbot geder b'Yisrael. Which is just like a heaping se'ah. They made gezerot on that day in a heaping measure, which means they were strict. They came along and said, listen, if there's no goy there, then we'll allow you to do the pachot pachot midal ramot. But if there's a goy, you can't do the pachot. So the rabbi that day, they made gezerot in a heaping measure in order to protect Klal Yisrael from coming to make sins. Comes the Gemara and says to Yeshua Omer, Bo bayom mahaku se'ah. On that day, because they made an abundance of gezerot, it ended up, instead of a heaping measure, which is positive, it ended up leveling off to be a minimal measure. Meaning, the fact that they were very mahmir on that day with the gezerot was counterproductive. They lowered the measure of the se'ah. How? That she says, "Mahaku se'ah b'midah mechukam adu bo b'yom shehirbu l'gzor yoter midai." They made too many gezerot, too many enactments. V'en yochulim na'abod gezeratam. They couldn't handle them. Umitoch kach ovrim al devre Torah. It came out because they couldn't keep the rabbinical enactment. They ended up coming to mechalel the Torah. Nimset midatam mechukah. Right, came out that their measurement was less mid the fifuta than more. The tov yalem liot midatam tefufa velo tabol idem mehak berov gedusha. So, which means over here, the fact that the rabbis on that day they were strict and they said what you can't go less than 4 amot. So, what ends up happening? The people say, oh, we got to carry our thing home. Oh, I can't even walk less than 4 amot. What do they end up doing? The guy wanted for Amot. So by being overprotective, their midah ended up becoming under. So there was two ways of looking at what happened on that day. The first version says it was great that day. Oh, the rabbis made more restrictions protecting clients from sin. And the other says, no, because they went over and above, it ended up coming low. They should have been level. If they just would have filled it up normal, they would have no problem. Because they went above, it ended up making it mahuk. Comes again and says, Tanya, Mashal Rabbi Eliezer lema devar dome. Rabbi Eliezer said it was a good thing making all these enactments that day. What is it analogous to? Lekupa melea kishuin v'diluin, to a box that's filled with kishuin and diluin. That's, let's say, gourd and squash, pumpkins. Now, if the box is full, could you fit anything else in there? Seemingly not. The Gemara says no. Adam noten letocha hardal. You could still add mustard seed. Why? because the mustard falls in between the holes. V'imachzeket. And it can still hold it, which means you add more. Which means even though the box is full, you can even put more. That's positive.
Mashal Rabbi Yoshua lemad davar domeh.
What is Rabbi Yoshua's statement analogous to?
La'areva mele'ad divash.
To a bowl that's filled with honey.
Noten letocha rimonim ve'egozim.
So you fill the bowl that's already filled with honey, and you add now pomegranates and walnuts. What happens to the honey? It ends up displacing the honey that's in it. And therefore, you went to go over, and you ended up losing.
Comes the Gemara, Rashi. Let's read Rashi.
V'imikiyah. Et advash. Shaya borishon. Af elu. So to those rabbis on that day.
Al yedei gezeratam garmu la'avor deshime lo yamin et anukhri.
You know, not every guy trusts to give his wallet to a goy.
Vem lo etiru leolicho pahot pahot me'arba.
And the rabbi said, oh, you gotta give it to the goy, you can't go less than four. So what's gonna happen? I don't trust the goy, and you tell me I can't walk four, I'm not leaving my wallet here. What ended up happening? They're gonna carry it more than four amot. So therefore, by going above, they ended up causing the people to transgress. Amar mor, we go back to a statement that we learned.
En imon nochri manichol hamor.
We said, if, let's say, there's no goy, so what do? You put it on the hamor, you put it on the donkey.
So the Gemara says, v'alo mehamer.
What are you talking? It's isur of mehamer. What does mehamer mean? You're not allowed to have your animal do a melacha for you, and you're leading it. What's the guy doing? He's putting the wallet on the animal. The animal is making akira, right? Because it starts to walk. It gets to the courtyard, it makes a hanaha. Just like you cannot make akira and hanaha, your animal can't do it. You're leading your animal. That's a sunnah Torah. Shdicht v'rachmana about the Torah says, lo ta'aseh kol melacha, continue, ata ubehemtecha, etc. So what's the option? If you don't have a goy, you can put it on the animal. Chaurah, it's a sunnah Torah to put it on the animal.
So comes the Gemara and says,
incidentally, Rashi says on this pasuk, "Lo ta'aser kol melacha atau b'hemtecha." The ezu stam melacha asu al yedeshnehem. It's master that it's a type of melacha that's done by both the man and the animal. Atau b'hemtecha. And what is that? When the animal's carrying a load and you're leading it, so that's already the isur min haTorah to load your animal and lead it. It's mehamer. That's what it's called. Mehamer.
Amar v'adab rava manicho aleha kishi mehalechet.
Oh, very good. We have a way where you don't have to make isur Torah over here. Let the animal start walking. Right? As the animal's walking, you drop the wallet on it. So now already, the animal did not make an akira, because the animal was already walking. So therefore, we have a way to get the isur away. It's only mutar when it's walking. Incidentally, even above when we learned that in the certain cases where you give it to the katan, let's say, according to one opinion, gave it, let's say, to a katan, it was only talking to us for says when the katan's walking. Because if you're going to give it to him straight, so the katan's making an akira, you're not allowed to let a katan do melacha for you either. For sure, the katan's doing it for the adult. So therefore, the only way they were lenient in that case also is when he's walking, when there's no akira being done. So here they're saying the same thing. By the hamor, what? Let him start walking and drop it on. So the Gemara says, wait, it's not good enough. Inevitably, the animal is going to stop on the road to urinate or to latil galalim, to defecate. The point is, he's going to stop. Once he stops and he starts up again, there's an akira, and he's going to stop again, and it's me'asur, and you're leading him. So therefore, what are you talking about? Let him put it on when it's walking. Inevitably, he's going to stop. And there's going to be an akira and a hanaka. Says no. You're right. when it starts to walk, put the wallet on its back. Kishi omed, when it stops, nutlohimena, take it off. And when it starts again, put it back on. So therefore the animal never makes an akira. No, you're stationary. You have no problem. So you, again, the animal starts walking, put it on. You're following it. Now what happens? The animal stops or whatever. Okay, it stops, take it off. No, no, according to this, it doesn't have to. No, according to that, she stops. It's no akira. It stops. It stops. So now, you take it off. It starts walking again, put it back on. So therefore you got rid of the akira. Wait, you got rid of the akira. So the Gemara says, hold it. If that's what you're telling me now, you're telling me a hadush over here, that I'm able to put it on the animal so long as there's no akira. Now obviously the animal is going to get to the courtyard, he's going to stop, you have a hanaha. But it sounds like a hanaha by an animal, that's okay.
No problem.
So long as he's doing half the job, that's fine. So Gibran says, half the job is fine. So what are you getting all, into a case, you got to find an animal. Mm-hmm. Give it to your friend, the Jew. Which means, you have a Jew there. Let him start walking. Put it on him. He'll now walk a little. Let him stop, let's say, as long as he didn't make an akira, you have no problem. So he can continue walking, let's say. So now, if he stops, take it off. The same item that we're allowing you to do by a hamor, which means hanaha alone, technically you could do by the haver, but you could do by a human being. So it comes again, and says, no. Amar papa, we have a rule. Kol shebigufo chayav hatat bechavero patur aval asur. We have a rule. Anything that if you would do the entire melacha, you would be chayav hatat. Meaning, if you would do akira and hanaha on an item, you chayav hatat. So therefore, the rule is shnayim sha'asauhu patur. If you split the melacha up, which means your friend only does half and you do half, it's asur midrabanan. So therefore we're not going to be lenient to give the wallet to your friend because it's considered shnayim sha'asa'uhu, two people splitting up a melacha, asur. Ah, kol shehavero patur aval asur. But if let's say, if the human would do this, it's only asur midrabanan, for example, let's say the human only did an akira, or only did a hanaha. What's the deen? Patur. Oh, then the rule is bahamoro mutalik tahila. By the hamor, then it's permissible lichatahila. So therefore, they're telling you in this case, at least you have to remember. In this case, normally we don't allow even the hamor to do just an akira or just anaha. That's also some of the rabbanan. But in this case, we'll make a dispensation to say it mutalik tahila, because even if you would do it, it's only sud rabbanan. So therefore, for the animal, will be more lenient. So it comes out, at the conclusion, at this point, we're saying, the only way you could use the animal is, let it start walking. Place it on the animal's back. When it stops, take it off. When it starts up again, put it back on. And that's better than doing the same thing to your friend, because there would be a sudan of banan, whereas here would be mutar. Comes again, as amar abada, barahava. Hayta chavilato munachat lo al ketefo. Let's say a guy's got a knapsack on his back. Okay? Now, it's already Shabbat. Now what does he do? It's on his back already. So the Gemara says, Ratz tachtea ad shemagia lebeto. He could run. Let him run home. So long as he's running home, he's not stopping. So he did not make, to be hayav in the reshut, you have to make an akira. For amot, hanaha. So the guy, remember, he's walking. We tell the guy, you remember the Shabbat now? Just start running home. So the Gemara says, Dav karatz. We only let the guy run home. Aval kale kale la. But, taking, small steps, or let's say, walking, we don't allow that. My tama, why not? Kevan delet lehekera. since he's walking in the normal way that he would normally walk, there's nothing discernible. So at the end, since he himself is walking the normal way, he'll continue walking the normal way, which is what? He'll stop. He'll start up again. But if the guy knows he has to run, so he's reminded, oh, something's different of me. Why am I running? Well, I'm running because it's Shabbat, and I have the knapsack, and I can't stop. So the running is really a reminder to the guy. So the Gemara says, what are you talking? You didn't solve anything over here. Sof sof ki matale bete iefshad lo kaepurta, which means when he gets to the door of his house, the guy's got to stop. Right? When the guy gets close to, let's say, the door, he's got to stop. And what's going to happen now? So now he stopped in the Rishut Rabim. He walks into his house. He goes to the Shuta. So he made a Hakira and Anaha from the Shuta Rabim to the Shuta Yachid. So the Gemara says, we can alleviate that problem also. Which is we're talking about when he gets in the Shuta, he continues running. Right when he gets to the threshold of the Shuta Yachid, he throws it in a non-normal way, which means he, let's say, flips it off his back in such a way. Yeah, he doesn't take it off his back and place it there. He throws it off his back. And therefore, it's kalachariyad. So therefore, akira, you didn't have, because he continued running. Hanacha, it's done kalachariyad b'shinui. In this case, when a guy has his backpack on him, the rabbis were lenient on him to do it in such a way. Comes again, what on says... Amar Rami bar Hamma. Rami bar Hamma said, "Hamechamer achar behemto b'Shabbat." A fellow that is leading his animal, his hamor, let's say, any animal, b'Shabbat b'shogeg hayav chatat. If you did it b'shogeg, meaning either you didn't know it was Shabbat or you knew it was Shabbat, you didn't know that this is asur, hayav chatat. B'mezid hayav sekila. If you did it b'mezid on purpose, then of course you hayav like every other melacha sekila. My tama, what's the reason? Amar Rava, Amar Kira, lo ta'ase kol melacha atah b'mtecha. You cannot do melacha, not you and not your animal. From the fact that it says you and your animal, there must be a connection between the man and the animal. Behemato dumya dide. His animal is similar to him. In what sense? Mahu b'shogeg hayav chatat, b'mizid hayav sekila, b'hemtonameh b'shogeg hayav chatat, b'mizid hayav sekila. Just like the man himself when we transgress the Shabbat. If he does b'shogeg, he brings korban chatat. If he does b'mizid hayav sekila, so to your animals the same way. If your animal does a melacha for you on Shabbat, also the owner will be hayav. Hatat b'shogeg and mezid v'hayav sekila. Ata u'behemtecha. The same law that applies to you applies to the animal. Comes again what on says. Amar Rava shtei teshuvot b'davar. First of all, if that's your logic, there are two refutations to this. Hada one what dichtiv. Torah achat yelachem le'oseh b'shkaga. V'hanefesh asher ta'aseh b'yad rama. How do we know the law of shogeg? Where do we learn the law of shogeg from? We learn it from Avodah Zarah. That if somebody transgresses Avodah Zarah, Beshogeg, he's Hayav Hatat. And what does the Torah tell us? Torah Achat. It's one Torah, meaning whatever the rules of Avodah Zarah is, that applies to the whole Torah. If you do it Beshogeg, Alo Ta'aseh, you'll be Hayav Hatat, but similar to Avodah Zarah. Alo Ta'aseh, that's punishable by Karet. Because Avodah Zarah, if you do it b'mezid, yahayav karet. So a type of melacha, that if you did it b'mezid, yahayav karet. If you do it b'shogeg, you'll be hayav. So there's an obvious connection between the source, Avodah Zarah, to other melachot. For example, Hilul Shabbat. So Rava says like this, Huksha kol ha-Torah kol ha-Avodah Zarah. The whole Torah in the laws of Korban Chatat was compared to Avodah Zarah. Ma Avodah Zarah da'avid ma'ase begufeh. Avodah Zarah to be Hayav a Korban. You yourself, in the person himself, actively does the Isur. Achaname ad David Ma'ase Begufe. So too, to be Hayav Korban Chatat, you have to do the Melacha yourself. However, this is a case where the animal did it. The animal doing it is not similar to the paradigm where we're learning Korban Chatat from. And therefore what? It's not Shayak Korban Chatat by Mechamer. It's not Domeh L'Avodah Zarah. Number two, Ve'od, Tanan. We have a Mishnah. HaMechalel Et HaShabbat בדבר שחייבים על שגגותו חטאת ועל זדונו סקילה. Gemara says, if a person is מחלל Shabbat in a situation where if he did that item בשוגג, he'll be חייב חטאת, and if he did it במזיד, he'll be חייב סקילה. So we see that what? That there are certain מלאכות, as a matter of fact, the majority of the מלאכות, it's שוגג חייב חטאת, בזדון סקילה. But what do we imply from there? That there must be certain מלאכות on Shabbat that do not fit this model. And what is that מלאכה going to be? מחמר. Which means, from the Mishnah says, if you did a מלאכה on Shabbat, that's חייב קורבן בשוגג, and חייב סקילה במזיד, implying what? That there's certain מלאכות on Shabbat that are not חייב סקילה or חטאת. What is it, says Rava? Must be מחמר. So therefore you see it is the exception. So the Gemara says, מכלל דאיכא מידי דאין חייב שגגותו חטאת ולא חייב שגגותו סקילה. Must be there's an איסור on Shabbat, איסור תורה, that's not subject to חטאת or to סקילה. The Gemara says, ומה יהיו, and what is it, says Rava? לאו דמחמר. So the Gemara says, לא, Rava, your second refutation doesn't stand. Why? Because I can tell you, Tehumin Valibad Rabbi Akiva. If you remember early in the Masechet, we learned, according to Rabbi Akiva, that the Isur of Tum, even though it's Asur Min HaTorah, according to Rabbi Akiva, he said it's different than all the Melachot. What is Tum? That you're not allowed to walk out of the boundaries, certain boundaries on Shabbat. 2000 Amot, like we learned. The point is, Rabbi Akiva says, Tchum is the Oraita. So the Chaurah, if Tchum is the Oraita, if a guy walked out of the Tchum on Shabbat, he should be Hayav, Hatat Meshogeg, Hayav Sekira, the Mezid. Rabbi Akiva says, no. Even though it's Isur the Oraita, it's not subject to the Isurim of Hatat. And so therefore, Rabbi, according to Rava, you want a case where it doesn't fit the model? I'll tell you, it's not Nehamer. Maybe it's Tchumin Aliba, Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, or another option, Vehavara alibad Rabbi Yoseh. If you remember, Shitat Rabbi Yoseh that we learned above on Dafayin, the Pasuk says, Lo tevaru esh b'chol mosmotechem yom Shabbat. So that specifically goes out of its way to tell us you cannot make a fire on Shabbat. So Rabbi Yoseh said, what does the Torah have to tell us you can't make a fire? The Torah already told us, Lo ta'aseh kol melacha. So already, Havara was part of the general rule of, Lo ta'aseh kol melacha. Why then did the Torah have to specify fire? So Rabbi Yosef Shita is, Lelav yatzat. It came to tell you that making a fire on Shabbat is different than all the other melachot. That what? That if a person, let's say, lights a fire, he only gets a Lo ta'aseh. He transgresses a negative commandment, but he's not going to be Hayav Hatat, and he's not going to be Hayav Sekilah. Which means, all the other 38 Melachot, Hayav Hatat Beshogeg, Hayav Sekilah, Bemezid. But how do we know Havara is different? Because the Torah went out of its way to tell us, Lo Tavaru Ish. What was it telling us by that? Lelav. It's a lav. It's a Lo Ta'aseh. And therefore I could tell you, Rava, the Mishnah was coming to tell you over there that the melacha on Shabbat that's not subject to Hatat and Tzikilah is not Nehamer. It's really Havara according to the Shita of the B.U.S. So because that we have a Mahloket, if Nehamer is Hayav Hatat and Tzikilah or not. Baruch Amar Olam. Amen. Amen.